God has been speaking to me about this country, that this country is going through a bad, bad time, but the times they're not going to be much good. Things are going to go even worse. And the Lord put in my heart that as children of God, we all should stand and pray, because only Jesus, He can save this country. He's no man, He's no woman, He's no child that He can save this country, but only God. The Lord has been speaking to me about poverty. Lately, I've been encountering so much poverty and misery. I don't know. And it feels like God wants all of us to do something. And that something is to pray. The only weapon that we have is pray, because we can't feed everybody's needs. But if we pray, God will feed our needs and He'll feed everybody's needs. And this morning, I don't know why, my heart is heavy about, again, this country. And the Lord told me, I must pray. I must create a chain of prayer with people with the same beliefs that I have, the same beliefs that this country can be saved through prayer. And we must do it for 40 days. Pray and pray and pray, and something will happen. You know, God, when He speaks to my heart, He speaks in a way that I know is God speaking. And God has been speaking to me since yesterday. I feel sad. I feel we let God down for some reason. And this is time for us as children of God to stand up and say, we're not going to let this country go down no more. We have to stand. We have to pray. I'm going to create a prayer chain for 40 days. Why 40 days? That's the number that I heard in my head. 40 days. Who wants to be with me? Please, after the meeting, come and give your name. I'm going to create on Facebook a page. We're going to do a page of prayer, and as much people we can get together. The only thing we're going to pray is for this country, nothing else. And for the Lord create jobs in this country and other opportunities in this country. Please be with me in prayer. Because I know God, you can use one person. You can use all of us. Thank you.
You know, sometimes God speaks to us. Bible says God does speak now one way, now another. One of the primary ways that God speaks is God speaks through His Word. This morning, as I was going through the scriptures, God actually spoke to my heart through a scripture. And I actually felt a bit of what she feels. I felt the sadness coming into me. And maybe you're not going to like so much the word that I'm going to give you this morning, but I'm not yet to please you. I'm yet to please God. And even though the word might be a bit harsh, I want you to ponder this word, and I want you to allow this word to speak to you, because I do believe that if she says that, you know, maybe we have displeased God in a way, I actually had the same feeling. Let me read you the scripture that God gave me on my heart, and then we're going to talk about that. To give you a bit of background, it comes from the book of Acts. It's some of the last scriptures in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read you Acts chapter 28 from verse, let's say 21. And let's just quickly see what it says. And then they replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. And none of the brothers who have come from here has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." Now, what's happening here? A bunch of Jews have come to see Paul about what he is busy preaching. You must take into account that Paul used to be a Pharisee. He wasn't just any Pharisee. He was a very elite Pharisee. He had studied under a man by the name of Gamaliel, who turns out to have been like the teacher of that period, of that age that they lived in. And now suddenly the word is coming back to them that Paul, who used to resist Jesus and anything to do with Jesus, is now actually converted, and he is no longer preaching Judaism. He is now preaching Christianity. And so they're saying to Paul, "We've come here because we want to hear with our own two ears what it is that you have to say for yourself and what it is that you are preaching." And then, verse 23, "They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some of them were convinced, by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say to them, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And boldly, without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to listen, and I want you to listen carefully. The people that were supposed to be very happy about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ones who had been waiting for the Messiah, the ones that were called out, turned out to reject the truth when the truth was preached to them. And Paul said to them, the Holy Spirit was correct when he said the following about you. I'm going to read you again, verse 26. Go to these people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And you know, God spoke to me, and he said to me, we are going through exactly the same thing right now. We are sitting with people that ever hear, but they never hear. They can sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday hearing the truth. But when you look at their life does not manifest the truth that they hear. So they are ever hearing, but they never hear. And they are ever seeing because they see what God does. They see the grace of God. They see the glory of God. But when you look at their life, it's like they never saw nothing because nothing changes. And I want to show you what God said. He says, because of this, and I'm going to read to you, therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has left you and been sent to somebody else. Today the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he spoke to me in what I perceive to be a harsh way. That God wants to say to the people of God that he's tired of us seeing but not seeing, hearing but not hearing, and refusing to accept the truth. And I want you to understand something. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 29, the gift and the call of God are irrevocable. That is the truth. God will never take away something that he has given you, but the anointing to make it work can disappear overnight. And God was saying to the Israelites, the Holy Spirit is removing himself from you and he's going to somebody else that will not see it in a disrespectful way, but accept it and work with it. I want to ask a question. How many times do we come to church and we hear the truth? And we even sit there and we think to ourselves, yeah, you know what, that's like, yeah. And we know that God is touching our hearts and God wants to bring about change. The reason why the word of God is preached is for us to understand what God expects of us. But when we, by the time we go down to the bottom, by the time we've left the stairs, we've already forgotten about it and it's like, okay, so it was interesting to know. No, God doesn't share things with you because it's interesting to know. God speaks to you because God expects you to be different. You know what? The biggest problem that we have right now in trying to convince the world that Jesus is the Son of God and accepting Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ is going to make a difference in their life is the fact that the people trying to preach it don't have a foot to stand on. Because when you look at a worldly person and you look at a so-called Christian, sometimes it's extremely difficult to say which one you're talking to because you do not see the change. For these people's hearts have become calloused. Do you know when your heart becomes calloused? When God talks to you and talks to you and talks to you and talks to you about the same thing over and over and over again, and you just couldn't be bothered. That's when your heart becomes calloused. Now, can I say something to you? Let's just look at what the word that he used there. Where do we normally get calluses? You get calluses on your hands. Now, I don't know if there's really people here that work that much with their hands that your hands can be completely calloused. But one thing that happens with calluses, they take away your feeling. When you have hands that have big calluses everywhere, it's like it's a buildup of skin, old dead skin that it's there to protect your hands. And when they're on your hands, they could probably do some good because it protects your hands. But even though it protects your hands, it takes away your sense of touch. It takes away your sense of feeling. You become desensitized. You know, today God spoke to me. I was sitting there and I was reading. And you know, the sadness began to flow through me. And I felt the heart of God. The way God sometimes feels when he speaks to us and speaks to us. And I want to tell you something. The word of God is a treasure. The word of God is amazing. The word of God is life. And God comes and he pours out life into us. And we just couldn't be bothered. And every time you leave this place, and I want to warn you. And it's not just you that I'm talking to, because somebody's going to watch this on the internet and they need to hear the same message. Every time you leave here and you have this like, oh, so what? You have just allowed another callous to come on your heart. That means the next time when God talks to you, you're going to hear nothing. Because the more calloused your heart becomes, the less you hear the voice of God. And then one day when you desperately need to hear the voice of God, when you're crying out to God and you say, oh Lord, talk to me. I need to find out what's going on in my life. Everything is a problem. You're going to hear nothing because your heart is so calloused that you are no longer sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God, even if he screams from the heavens, he cannot attract your attention. Because once too often, you have allowed your heart to become calloused. And I want to say something to you right now. There are people that are in danger that the anointing is going to leave your life and God will allow it to go to somebody else that is willing to listen. And that's going to be a very sad day when we have to confront the reality that the anointing has lifted. Tony Duke is here, and I remember once God gave you a word. You probably forgot all about it. The word that God gave her was a word, Ichabod. Do you remember that word? And the word Ichabod means the glory has departed. I want to tell you something, that the glory of God will depart if the generation that we are is not willing to humble ourselves before God and accept the word and change in accordance with the word of God. You cannot stand and say that I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to change. And the anointing must just stay, because the anointing will go. The word of God says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19, do not quench the Spirit of God. Do you know what to quench the Spirit of God means? It means that you started with the fire, but the things that you do or do not do, lets the fire go down. It's like pouring cold water on the fire. And the scripture also says, do not grieve the Spirit of God with which you were sealed when God called you. The Holy Spirit is a person and he can be grieved. I want to ask you a question. If you speak to, let's say for example, your son or your daughter, or even somebody in your employ about something, listen, yeah, this and this and this is how things need to be done, that and that and that is how we don't do things, etc., etc. And tomorrow you come back and they're still doing the same thing, and then you talk to them again nicely and you come back and they still did the same thing. What begins to happen? The relationship gets soured. And there's going to come a time when you're going to just turn, you know what, you just do what you want to do. I don't care anymore. And the feeling that I got is that God is coming to the point with certain people that he's at that point that he's like, just do what you want to do. You don't want to listen to me anyway.
Sorry, is the way I feel God is speaking to me about this country.
Yes.
God is upset because there's so many people, they believe in God, but they let things slipping away.
Listen to me very carefully. We are children of the light. And if we truly go out there into the world and we let the light shine, the light will make a difference. The problem is, a lot of us, like the Bible says, take the light, and instead of putting it, on the pedestal so that everybody can see it, we hide it under the bed. God called you to be a man and a woman of influence. God called you to lead by example. You cannot lead by example unless you are an example to other people, unless you apply the word of God, unless you allow the word of God to speak to you and bring that change into your family, into your life, into your friendship circle, into your work situation. You know what? We are not undercover Christians. You are not 007. You are supposed to make a change. You are supposed to make a difference. You know what? Many times people come, "Oh, Rian, pray for me. I want more anointing. I want more power." But here's my question. What are you doing with the anointing and the power that you already have? Because if you're not doing anything with it, you don't also deserve to have any more. I also want more anointing and I also want more power. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says, if I find you faithful with the little things, I will give you bigger things. Something that we sometimes forget is that God has His eye on our life, the way we live our life, the type of relationships we have, etc., etc. And that is going to determine whether we get more or we don't get more. You know, this country is falling apart right now. Finished up. That's just the way it is. But this country can be saved. Yes. And this country is not going to be saved by politicians. I want to tell you that right now, because the politicians that we have running this country are stupid for me. I don't even have to put that in English. But God's going to change this country. And I want to tell you how God's going to change this country. He's going to change it person by person, one person at a time. When we begin to exert the godly influence that God wants us to exert, God is going to begin to touch people's hearts. It's not that difficult to get somebody to be converted when they see something in you that they want. But if they see the same thing in you that they see in them, why should they listen to you? What do you have to offer them? You don't have to offer anything different. Do you know how sad it is when people get converted? And I put converted in inverted commas. They get converted, but for the next 10 years, nobody in the workplace has a cooking clue that they are converted, because they're still the same person. Yeah. I want to tell you something, and if I'm going to step on your toes today, I'm not going to apologize for it, because the truth is the truth and it has to be said. When you become a child of God, you have to be different.
Amen.
If people cannot see that you're different, then you have not changed.
Amen.
Conversion means a change of mind that leads to a change of attitude that leads to a change of action. Something about your life has to be different. In fact, people should stop you and say to you, "Excuse me, who are you and what have you done with Rian?" Or, "Who are you and what have you done with Ed?" But you're completely different. You act different. You look different. You talk different. The Bible says, "Come out from amongst them, my people." God wants us to come out from the worldly way of doing things and begin to do things in a godly way. Can I tell you why? Because then when you speak to somebody about their life or about situations in the country or whatever, they're going to listen, because they are seeing the light in you and it is attracting them to come. I'm going to give you one example. You know, God speaks to us many times about the tongue. He speaks to us about the tongue, the way we talk, the things we say. But I want you to listen. This week coming, I want you to listen to the way you talk. I want you to listen to the things that come out of your mouth. And you listen and you tell me whether your tongue is converted or not. Because if your tongue is converted, it has to be different. Listen to the way you talk about people. You know, there's people that like to gossip. You know, gossip destroys people's lives. Because every time you gossip about somebody in the spirit world, you got that knife. You're stabbing them in the back. They can't understand why they're battling, why nothing ever wants to happen for them. But in the end, you are the one that's going to stand before God and give an account of all of that. Yet we sit in church and, "No, but I'm fine." No. God wants you to be different. God wants your life to be different. And there's some things we have to let go of. There's other things we have to embrace. You know, this is not a bless me club where we come to hear good messages all the time and be uplifted and whatever. This is where we come to hear the truth. There are certain truths that people would rather not hear, but you've got to hear them. Because if I don't give them to you, who's going to? And if I don't give them to you and I stand before God one day and He says to me, "Oh, but you know what, Rian, I spoke to you about this and I spoke to you about that and you didn't have the balls to talk to them." I don't want that. I have to call a spade and I have to say it. And I want you to listen to them to this again. He says, verse 26, "Go to these people and say to them, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding." Do you know why you hear and don't understand? Because He says your hearts have become calloused. Because we hear and hear, we never do. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. What does turn mean? God wants change. You have to change. You know what? There are certain things that you live with. You say, oh, it's not a bad thing. It's got nothing to do with how you see it. The question you should ask is, how does God see it? Amen? How does God see it? And if God wants you to turn, it's time for you to turn. And then he says, and I would heal them. You want to know why some people sometimes don't get healed? Because of this. Because we hear, but we don't hear. We see, but we don't see. God talks to us, we couldn't be bothered. And then when the pawpaw hits the fan, we want the power of God to just be made manifest and miracles must happen left, right, and center. My friend, it doesn't work that way. God says very clearly, if you turn, I will heal you. How are we going to get this country healed? When people begin to turn. We are not playing God. And we better not be playing with God. We better get to the point that we say, listen here, I call myself a Christian. It's time to start looking like one. It's time to start acting like one. It's time to start talking like one. And not from a religious perspective, in truth. When God begins to see that attitude amongst believers, I want to tell you something. The fire of God is going to move through this place. And don't pat ourselves. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, but I'm anointed. You know, when I pray for people, this happens. And, you know, God answers my prayers. What? One day you can wake up and all the anointing is gone. Paul spoke to these people. He said to them, the blessing, the treasure that God gave you, the Holy Spirit, the call of God upon your life is removed today and it's given to other people. If God did it back then, what makes you think he will not do it again today? You know, we sit with people that sit in the church 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But with all due respect, what have you done in the church? Nothing. You just sit there. You're not called to be a pew warmer. You're called to be a man and a woman that leads by example. That brings and ushers in change. You are a representative of the most amazing place on earth. It's called the kingdom of God. But then you've got to actually represent it correctly. And God wants us to change. God wants us to examine our hearts. You know, he speaks here about calloused hearts. A calloused heart is a heart that doesn't feel anymore. That doesn't allow you to hear. Where do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear it with your ears or do you hear it through your heart?
Your heart.
You hear it through your heart. That's why most people don't hear the voice of God anymore. Because when he does speak to you, and yes, he speaks through his word, you're like, ah, so what? Or people's favorite thing, ah, but I don't see it that way. Nobody asks you how you see it. This is how the word of God puts it. Thou shalt not. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. Whatever. Apply the word. When we get to the place that we deal with our hearts, we will begin to hear the voice of God much better. And he says that will lead to healing. How many of you need healing in your body somewhere? Or you need healing in your heart? I know that there are some people here that need healing in their body, but I want to say something. Every single one of you sitting here needs healing in your heart. The place where we have the biggest damage is not in our bodies. It's in our hearts. Because it's the hurt in your heart that makes you lash out against people. It's the disappointment in your heart that makes you turn away from the truth and not accept what God is saying. It's the rejection that you feel that makes you mistrust people and miss the opportunities that God wants to give you. It's the turmoil, the bitterness, the hurt and the pain that entered your heart that makes you depressed and heavy. So where do we need the most healing? We need the most healing in our heart. But God also says it's exactly because of your heart that you can't have my healing. Because when I speak to you, you don't listen. When I show you things, you don't see. You know, God doesn't want you to just get all excited while it happens. Jump up and down, say glory, hallelujah, go out there and forget all about it. God wants you to see and let it change your life. God wants you to hear, apply and change your life. And I want to say to you again, every time God speaks and you choose not to listen, you add another layer of callous to your heart. There's going to come a time when your heart is so calloused that you fall in this category. Hear but don't hear. See but don't see. And the anointing will lift. Let's ask a question. If you look at it from this point of view, if you look at it from this perspective, how many of you would say truthfully, you know what, Rian? Maybe I never understood it this way before, but today God spoke to me and I realized that I have allowed my heart to become calloused and I need to sort that out. Let me see. Who believes that to some extent, when God spoke to you in the past, you did not listen? I also had to raise my hand. Because I'm sure there's times God spoke to me and I was like, no. When God speaks, whether it's through His word, or whether it's through one of His prophets, or whether it's through a revelation, God expects us to do something. And every time we do nothing, it affects our hearts. And there comes a time when it's affected your heart to the point that God says, I'm leaving you and I'm moving to somebody that's willing to work with me. I was associated with a church many years ago that had massive blessings of God. Two revivals that I know of broke out in that church. But you know what? When God spoke to them and spoke to them and spoke to them, they took it with a pinch of salt. Many times they were not interested to listen. One day we were at a prayer meeting at that lady's house and a word came through her. The Lord gives me this word, Ichabod. We didn't know what it was. You remember that day? And when we researched that word, it said the glory has departed. Guess what? The glory left that church. Today it's not even a shell of its former glory. In fact, today there's nothing left. I'm not going to let that happen to this ministry. The glory has to stay. I want this glory to stay. I don't want God to say one day, you know what, I'm tired of these people because you hear but you don't hear, you see but you don't see. Nobody changes. There has to be change. You have to change the way you are thinking. You have to start thinking godly. You have to change the way you talk. You have to start talking godly. You have to change the way you do things. You cannot do the same things as an unbeliever but expect people to respect you when you talk to them about God. They will not. You have to change who you are. It is time for us to take these things seriously. Because you know what? Eternity is a very serious matter. We're talking eternity. There is no shortcuts. There is no easy way out. When you're eternity in the wrong place, you've got a problem. And it's not just about me and you. It's about the people around us. How many of you know what the divine commission is?
To preach the word, to go out and pray for the sick, and to cast out demons.
Okay. That's very close. But there's one more thing. She said to preach the word, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick, which is right. But to lead through discipleship sums up the whole thing. If there is no discipleship, there is no doing it correctly. The divine commission is to be a disciple and make other disciples.
Amen.
You have to teach people how to do things right. Now, here's my question. How do you teach them to do things right if you're still doing a whole bunch of things wrong? That's not going to work, is it? So when God works with you, it's time for things to change. So that when you work with somebody else's life, you can lead them the right way. You know, the Bible says, woe unto anyone who teaches these children wrong. A lot of grown-ups are still children in God's eyes because they know nothing.
Yeah.
And if you teach them wrong, woe unto you.
Yeah.
Don't think that there's not going to be consequences, because there will be. So we need to make our peace with God. I think today God wants to touch a whole bunch of hearts that for many years have had no feeling. Because for too long we hear, but we don't hear. We see, but we don't see. And we have this, it's okay, everything will be okay. No, it will not be okay. God wants to bring feeling back into your heart. God wants to touch your heart again. You know, when you walk past a certain place and God wants you to do something, you have to hear His word.
Amen.
If you are to do something.
Amen.
If you are so calloused that you can't hear anymore, how can He use you? He can't. I want to say to you again, On the way here this morning, we were talking about this country. And this country is in the Duang in a big, big way. We all know that our government is godless. They don't care. But it's not the government that's going to bring the change. It's the church.
Amen.
And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're part of it. You are part of the only people that can bring hope to this country. Do not put your faith in a fat man with a bald head because he can't do nothing for you.
The Lord Jesus used 12 disciples to turn the world around. He can also do it.
And let's say something about the people that God used to turn the world around. Were they educated?
No.
Were they special? Well, God doesn't make rubbish, but from a worldly point of view back then, nobody would look at them twice. They were average Joes. There was nothing fancy about them. There was nothing heavy spiritual about them. They had problems with a lot of things. We know Peter had a problem with his temper. We know Thomas had lots of doubts. There were some issues. John was a bit vain. They had issues. But God touched their lives. They were willing to change. And you know what? The biggest movement that has ever moved through this earth started with 12 uneducated, average Joes who changed the world. Can he still do it through you? I have to believe he will. But I want to bring you back to the scripture. Unless you change, it can't happen. And unless you deal with your calloused heart, nothing is going to change. You know, if today you really mean business with God, this is what I have in my heart. If today you really mean business with God, if today you truly come to Him in humility and you say, Lord, I realize today that many times you spoke to me and I just couldn't be bothered. Lord, in fact, sometimes I was in complete rebellion because I knew I should do this, but I did that and what. Lord, today I'm sorry. Do you think for 1 minute God won't forgive you and cleanse you? Do you think for 1 minute God won't actually touch your heart and peel those calluses off or maybe even give you a brand new heart? Listen, your God is waiting. He's waiting with anticipation and excitement for people that are willing to stand up and say, Lord, use me. I want to make a difference.
Amen.
I want to tell you there's very few of them in this world.
Yes.
Most people do want to be undercover. I want to be a Christian, but just don't expect me to do nothing. No, but then you shouldn't become one in the first place. It's a package deal. You don't become a Christian to go to heaven one day and not do your part. In fact, the Bible says many people are going to stand before God one day and get a big surprise because He's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. And I have a feeling if we come before God and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have failed you. There were times you spoke to me and I didn't listen. There were times I saw the power of God, but I was like, whatever. I didn't allow it to change me. I didn't allow it to form me into the image of Christ. God is going to touch your heart. And God is going to minister to you. And you know what? Your feeling will come back. You know, the only way to truly hear the voice of God is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And again, that doesn't come through here. It doesn't come through here. It doesn't even come through there. It comes through the heart. You can have 5 so-called Christians in a room. The power of God can come through one person. Maybe 1 or 2 will be touched by it. The rest won't. What's the difference? The heart. Only the sensitive heart hears God. And most people's hearts are not sensitive. Because of this. Because we sit in church, we hear the truth. We never apply it. We don't allow it to change us. And we don't allow it to cut to our hearts. So, I say to you, you might not like what I have to say to you today.
I love that.
But I want to tell you something. God is speaking to you today. If you choose to listen, it will change you. The Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword and it has the power to cut between soul and body. Probably God needs to slice off some calluses from your heart today. Probably God needs to take away that which has desensitized you to the kingdom of God. Paul was trying to preach the kingdom of God to these people, and most of them could not accept it. Why? Because their hearts were calloused. In the kingdom of God, there is change. In the kingdom of God, there is healing. In the kingdom of God, there is salvation. In the kingdom of God, there is prosperity. In the kingdom of God, there is life. Guess what? Because they could not accept the gospel, they could not enter the kingdom. None of this was given to them. This makes me ask the question. How many people sit in a church on Sunday expecting the kingdom of God to come in their life, but they've completely closed themselves off to the kingdom, and they don't realize that they will never receive nothing because they're in the same boat as the Pharisees? I think there's a lot. And I think it's time for us to change that. It's time for us to make a commitment and say to the Lord, Lord, when you talk to me, I'm going to listen. Whether it's a big thing or a small thing, I'm going to listen. And Lord, if there's things in my life that you want to change, I'm going to change them. If God wants you to change your temper, you have to allow Him to change it. If God wants to change the way you talk, if you're negative all the time, my friend, listen to me very carefully. You can never have a testimony to unbelievers if everything that comes out of your mouth is negative. Because then they're going to expect that if I accept your God, I might begin to talk the way you do. I might begin to see things the way you do. I don't want that. No, keep it away from me. God wants change. God wants to touch your heart. And now, here we come to the biggest thing. The only way for you to change is if God can work with your heart. How must the finger of God work with a heart that is so callous that it's become a rock? He can't. So we have to deal with the calluses. It has to come off. Amen?
Amen.
I want to ask this question. How many of you, based on what I've shared so far, believe that in some sense you need some open heart surgery today? I believe God is going to give it to you. I want to say it again. Yes, you're right. And that should be what we govern our lives by. It's not what some say. It's what He says. That's the only thing that matters. And if He says to me today, this is the way it is, that's the way it is. I don't care what this one says. I don't care what that one says. And I will allow the Word of God to speak to me and change me. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we're going to do today. I believe God's going to help people. I believe God's going to take some calluses off that you didn't even know was there. And I have a sneaky suspicion. There's a lot of you that's going to be a lot more sensitive to the voice of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit in the days that lie ahead than what you are right now. Amen. Because with your calloused heart, you cannot hear. You are like the Pharisees. You see, but you don't see. You hear, but you don't hear. God wants that to change. We want to change this country. You better start by changing yourself. Until you have not changed yourself, you cannot change nothing. Yes, you're right. We must pray. But the change is going to come when you go out there into the world and you are a light in the darkness. I want to tell you something. When God just changed my life, I'm talking, I was about 24 years old when God supernaturally came into my life and a massive change came. And you know what? I don't really have anybody here that was in my life at that point in time. Maybe Uncle Ed. In fact, probably Uncle Ed is a good one to maybe just give an opinion on that. But I was a very worldly young man. You've heard my testimony. I was in the nightclubs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Half the time I was drunk as a skunk. I lived for pleasure. I lived for the world. I couldn't be bothered about anything. But God had a different call for my life. God had a different plan for my life. I didn't know it. But there came a day when I was confronted with it. And it was still my decision whether I would allow that to happen or not. But you know what? Something in me just knew. This is what is for me. And I took it with both hands. Do you know what happened? I immediately changed. My friendship circle could not, in fact, I lost all my friends at that point in time because they could not relate the new me to the old me, and they pushed me out. That's the change that God brought. And let me tell you something about that time of my life. You know, we talk about the light. At that point in time, I've always known the Bible quite well because I've always read the Bible. In the beginning, I read it from a religious point of view. You know what? I had this thing, I better read the Bible. And I thank God that I did read it back then because I gained a lot of knowledge about the Bible. But it never did much for me because I was that side of the fence instead of this side of the fence. But then when God touched my life, do you want to know one of the interesting things that happened? People came to me. I didn't have to go to people. People from everywhere came to me and began to talk to me about their problems, about their issues. People came and asked me questions about God in the middle of nowhere. The one day I was sitting in town waiting for a bus. Somebody comes and sits next to me and starts up a conversation with me. They don't really believe in God, but they start talking to me. By the time we finish, they believe in God. Can I tell you why? Because there was a light coming through me. That light had nothing to do with how many years I studied at university. That light had nothing to do with whether my church had ordained me or not. That light was there because God came into my life and I was willing to change. How are we going to change? It's time to wake up, son. How are we going to change the world when the world begins to see you as a flame and the moths come to you? You think I'm joking? I'm not. When you come to the place where you truly begin to hear the voice of God, God knows you hear His voice. He will send people to you because you can talk to them. The thing is, if right now your heart is so calloused that you can't even hear the voice of God for yourself, why must He send anybody to you? You're not going to hear. You will not be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to tell them what God wants to tell them. So nothing is going to happen. But I want to tell you, there's a different world out there that maybe right now you don't experience, but it's real. And God can talk to you like that. God can touch you like this. Quick, quick. And things can change. A right word at the right time. An act of kindness or something at the right moment to somebody will change their life. But before God can do that, He wants to change you.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Unless we change, we will experience what these people experienced when Paul said the Holy Spirit was right when he said about you. You hear, but you don't hear. You see, but you don't see. Now, I'm removing the anointing and sending it to somebody else. How sad would that be? Anointing is something very precious. If you have a call of God on your life, until you receive anointing, you will never know what that call is. And until you don't receive anointing, even if you know there's a call on your life, if you don't receive anointing, you will not have the power to fulfill the call. Jesus did nothing. Listen to me. Jesus did nothing, nothing, nothing until that day when the Holy Spirit came upon him. From that moment, Jesus was different. Do you know why? He wasn't different from the point of view that he received the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of whatever, faith. It was always in him. But that day when the Holy Spirit filled him, he received the energy, the power to bring it out. You are no different. The Bible says that, speaking of, I think it is Jeremiah, the prophet, he says, before I met you, I knew you. Before I created you in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before you even came into this world, before you came into this world, before your mother heard the first wah, God already assigned a lot of things to your life. But I want to tell you something. Most people, and I am correct when I say most people will meet with God one day and He will say to them, come, let me show you what you missed. Is that what you want?
No.
Because until the anointing doesn't come into your life, you will not manifest who you are. You cannot be a prophet If the Spirit of God is not in you to make you prophesy, you cannot heal the sick if the Spirit of God does not work through you to break the yoke of sickness. You cannot cast out a demon if the Spirit of God, who is called the finger of the Almighty, does not work through you to touch people. And that comes through the anointing. The anointing is, to a certain extent, the clothing of power, the power of God through the Holy Spirit upon your life.
Amen.
You need the anointing. And the anointing is in danger of disappearing because our hearts are not right with God. And that can stop today. I was not planning to preach this. In fact, I was a little bit late because I stood at the bottom and I was talking to some people about a couple of decisions that need to be made. And I came up here and I was going to continue with what I spoke last week. And in a sense, this is a continuation, but I took my Bible and I was just paging, and the next moment this scripture grabbed my heart. And immediately I felt emotion coming through my whole body. God touched me. And in a very short period of time, God said, this is what you talk about today. And I did. What you do with it is up to you. I want to invite you. When I asked how many of you believe your hearts have become calloused, pretty much everybody raised their hands. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to go home knowing that and not doing something about it, then you understand exactly why your heart is calloused in the first place. Because when God talks, you don't listen. But probably what you should do today is, no matter what else you have planned, you make a plan, you say, listen, yeah, something has come up. I apologize. I have to sort out a couple of things in my life. This is important for my future.
Amen.
This is important for the future of my country. And I'm not going to let God down today.
Amen.
I'm going to put Him first.
Amen.
You know, it's nonsense that God must come second and other things must come first. God must come first.
Amen.
The more we put God first, the more the power of God will be available when we need it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's that song that sings, the preacher preaching from an empty well. I don't want to be a preacher preaching from an empty well. I want my cup to runneth over. I want the anointing and the power of God to flow. Every word that I speak must bring power, bring healing, bring restoration. That's how Jesus operated. Why should I be any different? It's available to me. I want it. Amen. So I'm inviting you. It's time for God. God says it's time for you to deal with your heart. And I believe God will help you today. And I have a feeling a lot of you are going to feel completely different in the week that comes, because you will start becoming sensitive again to the voice of God, to the moving, the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand.